Welcome to Get This Shit, the bi-monthly podcast that answers the questions you've always had, but forgot to ask. Prepare your earballs.
Why, hello, and welcome to another episode of Get This Shit. I'm your host, Cassie, and today I'm joined by, psyched myself out again. Sam!
Psyched yourself out, like, with an introduction or trying to remember what my name is?
No, introduction. No, gotcha. I got a lock on that.
Would hope so. It's Samuel. Been a minute.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm freshly elevated, so, you know, I was like, I got words.
Yeah.
That's two in a row. I'm going to have to write something down next time.
Sometimes words better than not words.
Why use more words when less word do trick or whatever? Full Kevin. I went full Kevin on that one.
A bit.
Oh, Lord. Well, well, well. What have we been up to?
I'm alive.
Yeah, you are. You sure are.
Barely.
That's nice. Hey, it's been, I feel like it's been a pretty wild 2 weeks across the world, to be honest. Yeah. But the U.S. has been nuts lately. There was that horrible accident with the barge and the bridge. Holy shit. I've never seen something go down so quick.
Well, not since prom.
Funny. Yeah. That was me.
No, that was not me. You.
I know.
You're
right.
Nor me. I didn't even go to prom.
No, you didn't. You went to like a punk rock prom thing,
yeah,
didn't you? Like a concert. That was dope.
Both years. Very dope. It cost me like, I think between both years, it cost me a total of like $20.
Nice. I couldn't imagine going to prom like right now.
Oh, God.
That would be insane.
In this economy?
Prom in this economy? From bridges to prom. But yeah, that's been nuts. And there's an eclipse coming up. Mm-hmm. That's going to be super cool. Go ahead.
We are in the path of totality, so yay for us. Hopefully it's not too cloudy.
Yeah. Listen, if I hear that from one more person... The sun gets through the clouds. The moon gets through the clouds. Like the moonlight gets through the clouds, which is just the sun coming off the moon, right? You're going to notice if the earth is fucking dark.
Well, yeah.
Irregardless, Karen, of the clouds.
Yeah, but instead of just like God turning down the dimmer switch.
Sure,
you know.
Okay. I can understand that.
Yeah.
But listen, I have had...
We all want to be on the day without sun, you know, from Avatar.
I saw someone said, and don't forget to fight the Fire Nation.
I was going to say, if you are a firebender, lock your house and pray no waterbenders are after you.
Yes. I, at this moment in time, work in logistics.
Or the day of Blux End, sorry.
You're so funny. So, I work in logistics, which means the only thing that I do is coordinate how the shit is going to get somewhere else. Like,
yeah.
I ask guys to pick it for me, put it in a line, and then I ask somebody else, hey, can you come pick this up? And they say, yeah, I sure can. And then I make sure it's ready to go and it gets on the truck. Like, that is pretty much my job in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. You would think that people would be a bit more conscious of like problems with travel or things that interfere with travel, like weather.
Yeah,
weather is a really good one.
Super Bowl.
Super exactly. Things like
that. Presidential visit.
Yes. Why would the sun going dim for a few minutes not affect? Like an entire day. People were like, well, I want to pick this up at this point. And I was like, oh, we're closed. We're in the path of totality of the eclipse. Mm-hmm. And the governor like has even made like a state of emergency or like a stay in home place kind of thing. And it was like, don't fucking be on the roads because you're going to be there forever. Like, wherever you are during the eclipse, you are going to be there for quite a few hours afterwards because people are coming in from out of state to watch this super cool event.
Yeah.
So there's going to be, you know, two times more people in square footage that, mm-hmm. you know, towns aren't used to and interstates aren't used to and all of this. Like, Nashville, they were in the path of totality in 2017, mm-hmm. and they had gas stations run out of gas because they had so many people mm-hmm. come through. And, yep. you know, so I, in at least three separate emails, said the phrase, "You know I don't control the moon, right?"
You don't?
I was just, no, I know. I seem that powerful. But I'm very charming, but the moon, not charmed enough by me. What is it, Ricky Gervais? You've charmed me.
Yes, from
The Office. The Office, yeah. The original, yeah. But yeah, I had to, I Googled eclipse, like, you know what I mean, just to be mm-hmm. like, okay, I know what it means up,
right?
Exactly, yeah. I was like, okay, so I am clear on what this is, and like educated myself for 2 minutes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I find myself having to literally educate probably 12 different people. I was on the phone all day Friday.
For a lot of people, you have to explain what the firmament is.
The firmament. Yes. As I'm at work, I'm indoctrinating people into my clearly flat earth like
yeah.
beliefs. Mm-hmm. But I was, oh my God, it was very funny to have to try to explain to other adult humans, like, you know how sometimes there's a big line of cars in one place.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, listen, if this load is stuck in traffic, that still counts against the driver's hours.
Yeah. Driving time. Cause they can only drive like 10 hours a day or something. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they have to have 8 hours in between each of their rounds mm-hmm. or their, you know, whatever's. And I was like, they are going to burn through their hours and they will not be able to deliver it on time, regardless of picking it up on the preferred shipping date.
Yeah.
And like, just me, this little unicorn hairstylist in a little, you know, 9-to-5 cosplaying job. I'm like, I shouldn't be having to explain this to people.
You should not be Ron Swanson and Lowe's or whatever. I know more than you.
I know more than you. Yes. I was like, this is the moon's fault. So you can take it up with the moon's HR.
First of all, don't talk shit to UA. She's just doing what she's supposed to.
You're so funny. My girlfriend became the moon.
That's rough, buddy.
That's rough, buddy.
Yes. And then Easter. That was the thing that
zombie
happened last...
Zombie Jesus Day.
Yep, Zombie Jesus Day.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we've talked about it before. We have, with my dad's side of the family, we usually get together for holidays. Mm-hmm. And my cousin and I have a tradition where I do her hair with, like, found items. But we've started bringing stuff just because, like, it's fun. More fun that way. But I use, like, forks and knives and napkins and... bows from Christmas and toothpicks, like all sorts of stuff. And I do her hair in a festive, like avant-garde way. And this year I gave her bunny ears. Hair sculpture, yes. I gave her bunny ears and like a nest. Mm-hmm. And like then we'll put found items from my grandma's house into, like we incorporate it into her hair a lot of times. So it's a good time. She's 21 now. Like, we started this, like, when she was probably, like, 16, 17.
Maybe somewhere, yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, it's been every holiday except for Christmas during the panty.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I'll put a picture up of that. It's good fun. She's a very good sport about it, too.
Yes, she is.
She's the best hair model, man. She don't complain for shit.
Right, yeah. Let's see here. Never enough deviled eggs at Easter. I think that's my only complaint about Easter.
I know. I think that hoe did, what, an 18-pack or 24?
I don't remember, but yeah. No, it's not. Mm. It's never the fault of the person who provides it. I could just eat a dozen by myself.
I know. It's
which is so funny because I used to hate deviled eggs.
Did you?
Oh yeah,
really?
Very recent. I think your deviled eggs.
Oh nice! Like, Thank you. Them, I forget like I used to cook. Like I haven't fucking cooked in years.
You're funny. The first time you made them when we were dating, you know, I tried them because I'm not gonna not try them.
Nice, yeah.
But yours, yeah. Yours Thank were you. Like, holy shit, those are really fucking good. I like these deviled eggs.
Sriracha and eggs were made for each other. Yeah. Like, you cannot convince me of anything else different. Oh, I do have an update. Jackie, one of our fans, listeners, you know, third or fourth member of GTS, she was the can culprit she sent in. Yeah.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack. Love ya. I really do. We appreciate any and all suggestions. Like, I want you to know, like, they are seen, they are taken down. I have my shit list, future shit list, and whatnot. So, they are received, and we love them.
Yes.
Very, very much. What else do we have?
I don't know. I've been working a lot of overtime, so I haven't had time for much else.
No, I've been on my own quite a bit, just hanging out, reading, listening to audiobooks, researching, scrolling TikTok. You know how it is.
Yeah.
I haven't had any good drama from
Cruise.
Yeah, World of Wonders or what the fuck ever. See, it's been that long. Like, there really hasn't been too much drama. And I even looked. I have a folder and everything. And I check in with this girl at least once a week.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Yes. I also just enjoy the way that she, like, tells stories. And she's British. So she has this amazing accent that's just like, oh, it's so thick. I love it. I love it. One of my favorite things that I've been seeing on the TikTok is, like, British and American like feuds kind of like back and forth.
Oh,
like for a while it was people from UK don't realize how fucking gigantic America is. It's just a huge mass of land divided up by invisible lines, and how like a 4-hour journey is like you can still be in the same state.
Oh yeah,
you know. But we have new neighbors with a new dog, so you may be hearing them. That's going to be the next thing I learn how to
edit out.
Edit, yeah. Do that kind of stuff. But it's whatever, so enjoy that. Sorry. But the latest feud is if they're called roadmen, like in the UK, like a common like robber, thief, you know, ne'er-do-well on the street.
Okay.
Roadmen. And Americans are like, I could not be less fazed by someone like, run me your money, bruv. And like has like maybe a knife on them or whatever. Gotcha. And they're like, I've been shot at in school, dude. Right. Like, get out of here. Like, do you have a gun? No? Okay. I'll be going now. And I've seen a couple of different people talking about like their experiences, like, yeah, like someone tried to mug me one time and I just like I didn't understand what was going on so much that they just left me alone.
That's hysterical.
They gave up and I was like, I think that I would probably be that way. Because that happened. I had a gun in my face.
You had a gun pointed in your face. Yeah.
I think I told it years ago. I tried to return a red box soccer game, and I was trying to return this thing. Guy hollers at me. I'm like, no thanks. I'm just looking straight ahead. I turn around to leave, and he's right there, and he's like, hey, give me your purse. And my sister had just given me that purse, and I was like, no. And he was like, you're a dumb fucking bitch. And he put a gun in my face, and I went, and he was like, what? And I was like, ah. And then after the police officer came out and like there was a holler from his friend in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, and the guy had turned already. And I'm like, ugh! Like I'm trying to get out of there. And then Paul Blart comes in. He's like, is there a problem? And he's like charging through. And I was like, yes. I run into Marsh. Fucking hid behind ears of corn.
Yeah, that's how old the story is. Marsh was still
a thing. Yeah, Marsh was a thing in the Midwest still. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, but he was just like dumbfounded that I was like, no.
Right?
Like, this is my purse. And
yeah,
then,
you
like,
don't just get things.
Yeah, you don't. That's not how we do it. And I was just like, ah. And it wasn't like a how dare you. It was just like a how is this fair?
The incredulity.
I was put out by it. I was more put out by being mugged than concerned, I guess. Like, of course this would happen. So, but the guy was like, do you want to file a report? And I was like, with what?
Yeah, for who, about what?
I was like, he chased him and everything. I like his friend abandoned him in the car. He was like, "Skirkader." There's no loyalty among thieves.
Well, you don't want to get caught trying and failing to rob a white lady. No one wants to do that. Let's be honest.
I mean, yeah, that's the only time that I've ever encountered anything like that. I'm grateful.
I'm surprised that you growing up where you did and me growing up hood adjacent at best, depending on who was arguing with me. I've been around and seen plenty of guns. Never had one pointed at me.
Yeah.
And you're Whitey McWhite-White.
Just hey. I know. I mean, I'm very pointed gun addable. You know what I mean? I look really nice.
That's why I married you.
Thank you.
So.
Yeah, amicable when a gun is in my face? No. Yeah, no. I mean, I look pretty nice. Like, people talk to me quite often in situations. You know what I mean? And I am generally nice, but oh my. If I'm scared, like, automatically, I'm a mean, I go chihuahua.
Yeah.
I want you to think that I am so fucking mean that you are scared to come near me. And for a long time that worked. Mm-hmm. But then I learned that that's not a healthy way to live your life.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And I had a big question asked by Sally. She's always getting them. And she was like, do you like feel safe? And she's like, when do you feel safe? And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, when do you feel safe? And I was like, I mean, feel safe at home. Mostly safe at work, I would say. Like, there are accidents that can happen, but like, I don't fear for my life at work.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, okay, so what about like when you're out and about? And I was like, are you kidding? I was like, no, I'm looking around. I know what's going on.
Head on a swivel.
Head on a fucking swivel. Like, I don't just go out and about like, la, 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 la. I don't have to pay attention to anything. I pay attention to everything.
You're not a little bit Alexis.
I am not a little bit Alexis. I'm a lot bit of anxiety.
Yeah.
And I think...
A bit of politeness.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. My politeness is not always polite. It is condescending sometimes.
Well, you know.
But
works.
You deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
Students all the time ask me, like, how can you say the things that you say to people? And, like, they're totally fine with it. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I guess it's just in the sound.
Intonation, body language.
Yeah. So sorry. That's just, gosh, that's just too tough, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not happy about it either, I'm the only one who can actually has power and can control this.
Gosh,
situation.
No, I'm not happy about this either. Yes. Just gentle parenting people. Right. That's why we didn't have kids, because we're out here gentle parenting fucking adults.
don't know what you're talking about. I've never done that in my life.
Sam has never done that, ever. He doesn't use it on big, burly construction worker men all the time.
Nope.
Oh, it's so much fun. Oh, Lord. Well, Samuel?
Yeah.
I've got some... have you... Talking about a crazy couple of weeks in the U.S., right?
Okay.
From earlier.
Okay.
Pardon. I don't know if you saw, but like in New York, like eight separate...
Concrete jungle when in the made of...
Eight women got punched in the face? That's why I let you finish. Oh, no. Yeah, well, concrete fist.
Look, it's concrete jungle. It is. It's not a concrete playground. It's concrete jungle. Okay.
You're not wrong. Well, it...
Okay, no. But I feel like this requires an addendum. In New York, eight women got punched in the face by a stranger?
Yes. They were attacked by a stranger. There's some speculation that it's another TikTok person that has following that is notorious for harassing women. Like, that's what his channel is. Ugh. Like, just out on the fucking streets of New York City. Yeah, just being a total fucking douche canoe and just accosting women and asking them, you know, horrendous questions and yeah, just all this. Like, that's what his personality is made out of. He is, like, it's been shown that he was the attacker of two of the women, but as far as the other, I don't have any information about that. Yeah, but like within the span of a few days, like, it was just specifically punched in the face, not just assaulted, right. It like pushed or shoved. And then there have been people pushing people onto the tracks in fucking subway stations. One woman lost both of her feet. Oof. Yeah. And like, I just don't understand this surge. Well, that's not true. I do understand the surge of violence towards women, because there has been so much, especially in like the circles that I run in and the people that I have in my company and whatnot. Like, millennials are not keeping up with the birth rate that, you know, is expected and whatnot. And there's been a lot of talk about the 4B movement of the women of South Korea, how they're just... They've given up on men, and they already do not have any students enrolled for a kindergarten class of 2024. Like, they fucking did it already. They have decimated an entire grade level. There are no enrollees in some places. Yeah, and I mean, it's because they're tired of being treated and abused and, like, it not being... taken seriously or charged, or like the police are not taking care of it.
Right.
The authorities at hand aren't taking care of it, which I think women around the globe, women probably in this universe can all, you know, align with or feel for, because it's not like domestic violence is taken seriously here either.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, we live in the Midwest. Like, it is... rife, my dude.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to be safe. Mm-hmm. But I am a girl's girl. Like, there have been many times that there's been, you know, a guy and a girl fighting in a bar or whatnot. And I happened at one of my dad's gigs, and this guy got into this girl's face and he fucking pushed her down into a chair and had his fucking forehead up against hers and was yelling at her. And I was like 19 or 20. Like, I shouldn't have been in the bar, but I was there for a gig and I was like the sound tech. I went over and I yanked him off of her and threw him across the fucking dance floor. And he came at me with all the meth rage in his fucking heart. And all I did was literally kick a chair in between us and he fell. And then the fucking security guard came over and like all this stuff, the band never stopped playing. And my dad's like... playing the fucking Free Bird as fast as he can. I'm just kidding. They didn't play Free Bird. But he's on piano and watching me like, bitch, can you not? You know? But you're not going to do that in front of me.
Yeah.
Like, and I, like, if it's two men fighting, like, I'll break that up too. Like, I don't give a fuck. But like, if there is a woman involved, my eyeballs are glued to the situation.
Yeah.
Because I have been threatened and harassed as well. And I can't imagine what pretty girls go through. You know what I mean? I'm beautiful and gorgeous. And, you know, I know that. But I am not the standard. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not America's standard. So I haven't had to deal with nearly half of that shit. Like, the older I get, the more I deal with it.
Sure.
Not as much as when I was younger. Like, I didn't get catcalled all that much and whatnot. But I think my unstable mental vibes kept that at bay. You know what I mean? But in inspiration.
In lieu of this story.
Well, in inspiration of women having to defend themselves because fucking no one else is going to do it.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you a little history about women's defense.
Okay.
All right.
I know plenty of historical times when.
Yes, I know you do.
I have found intriguing.
I know you do. So I've kind of mushed together a little bit of everything. All right.
Love it.
So, I am going to start in the 1800s, okay? Because, like, I could go back even further, you know?
You could go back to, like, BC times.
For shizzy.
Like, there was a famous, like, female warrior priestess who was a tribal leader of, like, Scythians back in the day when it was, like, pre-Persian Empire.
Damn, Gina.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're beginning in the 1800s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Women are beginning to spend more time outside of the home.
Yes.
Unsavory men, not used to seeing these women out and about or unchaperoned.
Yeah.
They began to engage more and more with unsavory habits. You know, being angry, endangering women. Mm-hmm. You know, what like shitty men do.
Yeah.
They would invade their personal space, often touch them without permission, and go even further than that.
Yeah.
So the term masher, you know, loosely translates to creep, catcaller, harasser. All right. A masher's MO was to just inconvenience and harass as much as they could. Two things that were seemed rather innocuous, but always led to more bullshit, which to this day,
people
don't
that.
Get.
I understand that.
I know that you do because you're a good human that resides in a male body. Well, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I've seen escalating behavior.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, you see it with like, you can see it with people who are like addicted and like currently on certain like hard substances. You're like, oh, okay, if they're like on heroin and they're like high as fuck, chance they may be loopy and appear to be acting like weird and out of the normal, but chances are they're much more a danger to themselves.
Absolutely.
Than somebody else, unless they get behind the wheel of a car. Whereas, like, if someone is on uppers, like cocaine or methamphetamines or crack or whatever, like, you can see their behavior is going to be different, and they can be erratic and frenetic and very unpredictable. So you start noticing, like, patterns of behavior.
That it's occurring more and more. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So two of these, moves that mashers would use is the passer in, passer out. So when you're walking by someone, putting your hand on the lower back, grabbing the waist, like doing things like that. Because women were on streetcars, trolleys, trains, and stagecoaches. Like, they had, like, Uber stage, like, Uber pool stagecoaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Uber share. It was very funny. But, yeah, just the whole thing. And I've been a victim of that shit, too. I've had people try to put their hand in my pant before, and I'm like, you want those fingers?
Right.
You still want those fucking fingers? I'll bite them off. So another one was that men would carry around a letter or a handkerchief, something like that. And when the women pass, they would say, oh, ma'am, oh, you dropped your letter. You dropped your handkerchief. Mm-hmm. And then
let me holler at you.
Exactly. And exactly. Then, being a scrub.
Right.
Being real scrub.
And then the whole, oh, well. Oh, that's not mine, or oh, I'm not interested. Oh, I don't understand. I'm just trying to be nice. I don't understand.
I'm just a nice guy.
Why you had to be so rude about it? And it's like, dude, fuck you.
You know what you were doing. Like, I hate that. The gaslighting. Like, ugh. I wish I would have never learned that term and definition, because yeah. I feel like I could have lived a bit more of an ignorant, blissful life. So. Firstly, like, women had to rely on men for help, right? That didn't go super great. And not only were the men doing the mashing, the other men who weren't doing the mashing and who weren't around, who weren't doing the mashing and were around were, like, the leftovers of men, because most of them were at war.
Yeah.
Because there were four different wars mm-hmm. going on in the 1800s.
Yes.
You had the War of 1812, the Mexican-American War, the mm-hmm. Civil War, and the Spanish-American War.
Yep.
So, like, not a lot of quality dudes still left around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, at first, women began to use their parasols, and... That wasn't very effective to, like, yeah. keep men at bay, you no. know? They yeah. were made of wood. Sometimes they were made of metal. But ultimately, like...
Yeah.
It was paper. I could set it on fire.
Yeah.
And get to you, baby. Like, you know what I mean? They break easily and what have you. Sometimes they had their fists.
Yeah, like Stagecoach Mary.
Uh-huh. Oftentimes, they were applauded by the bystanders after they, you know, some women mm-hmm. put a masher down. In one case, Miss Josie Sanchez was a very tall woman. Very tall.
How tall was she?
I didn't say, but Amazonian was how she was described.
Gotcha.
While her and a friend were
real
making...
Real panther on the runway.
Yes. Real panther on the runway. While her and her friend were making their way to a theater through the town center, a well-known masher decided to try his luck with old Josie. After accosting the two women with what was reported as crude remarks, Josie picked the man up
yes.
and proceeded to throw him into the window of a storefront.
Yes! Love that.
She was arrested and charged with malicious mischief and was ordered to pay $8.50 for the damages, to which Josie on record said, worth it.
Yep.
And that's what it said, worth it. I was like, what is bitch? Yes. So, okay, now I've got to switch gears a little bit into some fashion history.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if you're...
in the 1800s?
If you're any degree of a student of history, you'll know that hats...
Get ready for hats.
...have been a major player. Hats weren't always for fashion, but all to distinguish rank in military and sure. also class status.
Yeah.
There are too many hats throughout history for me to start at the beginning. Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to be in the 1800s. Hats were handmade by milliners and by fanciers.
Yes.
The fancier the hat, the richer the asshole wearing it, generally.
Yeah.
In the 1800s, bonnets were fetch. Mm-hmm. and bonnets.
Stop trying to make fetch happen.
It happened already. They had little strings, drawstrings, right?
Yeah.
For bonnets. That's how they stayed on there. Okay. Okay. First, they started out very simply, and they grew more and more ornate as new fabrics were, you know, what do I want to say?
Procured
and made available.
Yeah.
And I was like, industrialized, but that wasn't the word that I wanted.
Manufactured.
Thank you.
There you go.
So new fabrics and frills became, you know, the norm to add. But the more shit you add onto a hat, the heavier it's going to get, right?
I'm just picturing the Key and Peele sketch where, yes. with the hats.
Yes, where he ends up with the woman on the platform making that.
Yes.
Yes.
Strapped to his head. Yes.
It is 100% that way.
Mm-hmm.
Quick aside, I want to tell you about a very specific bonnet that I learned about.
Okay.
They're called winter bonnets.
Okay.
Or beaver bonnets.
Okay.
They were
so, like Jamaican Rasta wear.
Exactly. They were quite waterproof because they were crafted of beaver fur.
Yeah.
The underhairs of the pelt were shaved from the hide, pummeled, and boiled many times until the mass became a thick felt.
Okay.
These bonnets were then, they had bright fashion fabrics sewn to the outside of them and then lined with silk or velvet.
Okay.
And had that beaver felt in between.
It's like the stuffing in between.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they were extraordinarily heavy. So sometimes they had to have like an apparatus, like a bumpet. On top of their head to kind of help hold it up so it didn't just like weigh down.
I would be fucking waterproof though.
Yeah. Gentlemen were usually freezing their ears and ladies were nice and covered up and cozy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I'm a bonnet girl. I'll fucking wrap my little scarf.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right. So now we're moving more towards 1820s. Larger brim hats with high rounded crowns start to become the trend. So you get more real estate. On the
right, I'm picturing Christopher Lloyd's girlfriend in Back to the Future Part 3.
Emmett! Okay, I was like, you're going to have to give me another one.
Emmett!
Yeah. Very much
she
so.
She had a hat.
So, more real estate.
Yeah.
We got to fucking fill that shit in,
you
right?
Add flair.
Gotta add flair, yeah. So women started putting birds onto their hats. Like
real birds?
Like real birds.
They weren't alive, right? Were they stuffed? Like,
they were not alive. Yep. Yeah. They were not alive on the hat.
Right.
Yeah. So much to the point that in 1918, Congress passed the Migratory Bird Act Treaty, a piece of legislation that put a swift end to the hunting of birds like egrets, swans, eagles, and hummingbirds.
Swans?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is putting a swan on their head?
They would put it around, like the neck around, and it would, well, like the beak rude. And every, the face would like face the face. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
they were
rude.
Almost hunted to extinction, aggressive. Like the snow egret.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Fuck a swan. I don't like swans.
I'll fight a fucking Canadian goose, eh?
But... like, yeah, I don't give a shit about swans, but that's excessive.
Excessive!
Aggressive and rude.
And rude.
Rude because you're only... look, if you're going to kill a swan and use it as a hat, fucking strap the body of that swan to your back.
God. You better use the downy, the meat,
right?
Everything.
All that shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
If I kill a swan, which I'm not saying I have or am past, I'm just, you know... Or I'm above it.
Oh, my God.
Okay? But if it happens, I'm going to use all the swan, okay?
Thank you.
I'm making a coat. I'm making a pillow or whatever. I don't even care if it's only so much I can make like a little couch pillow, you know? But I'm doing that. I'm making some fucking...
then we're having pheasant.
Swan grease.
Swan grease. Shut up.
All of it. I'm just saying. I'll figure out something to do with the feet. Okay, I don't know what it is yet, but I'll do something.
Phone stand holder. Salt and pepper shaker.
Salad tosser.
Salad tosser. I love it. Fuck. Okay, so back to hats.
Anyway, back to hats.
To help keep these masterpieces on the, these women's head, they started to use what are called hat pins.
Like safety pins?
So, no.
Or just like a long pin that would go in like a pin cushion.
Like as if you were sewing. Yeah, a pin cushion. A lot of times, I know like me being handed down like jewelry from my grandmothers and aunts and things like that, I have received hat pins and I didn't know what they were. And they had like this little gold. Yeah.
I have seen hat pins.
And it has like the queen on it or something.
Yeah.
The ones I had like a rust color background and then they had like a gold inlay of the queen or something like that.
I understand. But,
yeah. So I didn't know what those were. And they were like, I don't know, like a barrette sized, I would say.
I don't know. I saw some big ones in like my grandma's old jewelry and shit.
Oh, I bet.
Like,
yes.
Damn near the size of like a little bit shorter than like a letter opener.
Yeah, for sure. These pins were used for all manners of hats because fashion quickly changed.
Sure.
Not only in hats, but with hair.
Right, yeah.
They started using fake hair pieces to get bigger and bigger hair.
Yeah, okay.
So, hat pins became broadly available aplenty. Mm-hmm. Some were decorated. They had, like, butterflies on the ends of them or, you know, different things, flowers. Sure. Or they were just silver or copper, sometimes gold, straight pins.
Yeah.
Some were 6 inches all the way up to 18 inches. With that being said, women realized...
That's excessive.
Well, these hat pins have versatility to them.
They sure do.
First of all...
Keep a masher at bay, that's for goddamn sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were strong enough to chip ice off of a big block.
Oh, right. That means they're strong. Can be used for a lobotomy.
Yeah.
In theory.
So when women started using hat pins to defend themselves, men were not pleased.
Yeah, no shit.
On a Chicago streetcar in the 1890, a well-known masher was up to his mashing. When...
Please tell me like 6 of them like just... shank the fuck out of him prison yard style on the streetcar.
This guy sat down, older, nice dressed gentleman sat down next to this woman.
Doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't. It sure doesn't. And he kept pressing his knee against hers and was just like body to body with her. Mm-hmm. That's when she whipped out her hat pin and stabbed him right in the thigh.
Fuck yeah.
He screamed and jumped up and ran off the streetcar, having it stopped. Our hero simply just wiped the blood off her hatpin with her handkerchief, threw the handkerchief on the ground, and stuck her hatpin back into her hair.
Fuck yeah. Gangster.
Yeah, passengers laughed as the guy ran off and applauded her.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah. The bigger the hair, the closer to God, and the more hatpins you're gonna need.
And the longer the hatpins you're gonna need.
Yes, so flowers, leaves, bugs, butterflies, like I said, started to be more and more common and adorned. So in the early 1900s, most women had an average of 6 to 15 hatpins in their hairstyle and hat at any given time. On a crowded, jerky-ass streetcar, these small hair sabers sometimes caused an issue.
Sure, you get jostled around and stab someone in the eye.
Involuntary nose piercings were very common.
Yeah.
I mean, they were thin and fine and, like, you know, they came in and out. But in the early 1900s, in the Indianapolis newspaper, reported a woman doesn't need a revolver or a bow and arrow when she wears half a dozen half pins.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. In 1903, a Mrs. Blaker, a woman from Kansas, was visiting New York after getting onto a street coach, like an Uber share.
First of all, don't fuck with the back, like, Great Plains, yes, Kansas woman. She ain't
While
gonna...
she may not be East, you know, East Seacoast rough and rude, she mean as hell, and she's not afraid to get dirty.
Yeah, no, she's been fucking doing chores her whole fucking life.
She's been choring her whole life. She is strong as a motherfucker underneath that petticoat. Don't you try.
Mm-mm.
So, an older, well-dressed man gets on the streetcar and takes a seat next to her. The coach hits a large pothole, which apparently potholes have existed in Indianapolis since fucking the dinosaurs died. That's all right. Hilarious. God damn. So hits a pothole. Everyone gets jostled. Fine. Right. Like
normal.
Thank you. Well, the man that was sitting next to Miss Blaker ended up shoulder to shoulder, hip to hip, knee to knee, ankle to ankle. And as she gave him a moment to readjust, as she did herself, fucking weird old man decided to put his hand around her and grab her around her lower back and waist. So she
That's stabbing grounds. That's grounds for getting stabbed.
She agreed. She took her footlong hat pin out and stuck it through his arm.
Woo!
Yep, he screamed, jumped up. Got off at the next stop.
Yeah, weird.
Another instance in Brooklyn when four men tried to rob a woman while walking home alone at night.
Shit, four?
Four. One of the thugs told her to hand over her purse and jewelry. As one of the guys went to grab her, she whipped out two hat pins and started, as the article said, a stabbing.
And started a stabbing.
Started a stabbing.
Oh my God.
And
I love
as
it.
A. What's his face? Oh, Dave. Anthony. Oh. Started a stabbing. she stabbed these fucks so many times that three of them ran away. And while she was fighting the last one, a policeman ran in the corner in time to apprehend her last would be mugger.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So now we're moving down to St. Louis. 19-year-old woman approached by three men as she's walking home by herself. They grab her and drag her into an empty alleyway.
Motherfucker.
The woman was able to fight them long enough that she managed to loose two hairpins as she's fighting them and was able to stab her way out of it and run out of the alley.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good for her-ish, kind of.
I know.
Had some mixed bag of feelings.
Yeah. Marguerite LeBlanc was walking down the street in New York when a well-dressed man walked up to her, put his arm around her waist, and said, "Ah, what a pretty girl," and tried to kiss her. Marguerite pulled out a pin, stabbed him in the arm, where it went all the way through and into his cheek.
Good.
Yes. He ran away. The only thing she was upset about...
Unmitigated gall. Like, where the fuck do you get off thinking that you can fucking put your hands on people?
I don't know.
That you can even fucking talk to people like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't fucking get it.
The audacity...
It's fucking disgusting.
You are correct. You are correct. She was upset because she lost her hat pin.
Well, yeah.
He ran away with it.
It's a good hat pin, obviously.
It's a good goddamn hat pin, goddammit. During a Mardi Gras celebration in 1908 in Pittsburgh, men started throwing confetti into women's faces. Just fucking handfuls of confetti, just...
Okay.
Uh-huh. Others were shoving feathers into their face and tickling them and shit like that. The next day, it's reported over 100 men were seen by local doctors for hat pin wounds.
Good.
Fucking, they went a-stabbing.
Good. Jesus Christ.
Well, as you can imagine, the men folk weren't too fucking happy about this. And Oregon...
Well, then get the fuck over it.
Then stop! crap.
You don't get stabbed for nothing. Yeah.
Get your man under control. In Oregon, they banned wearing of hat pins over 10 inches. In 1910...
I work with, like, knives generally between 6 and 8 inches. Trust me, 10 inches is long enough.
You don't know.
Like, 8 or 9 inches is, like...
I would like to hit 2 organs. If I have to stab you, I want the length of 2 organs.
Sure, I'm just saying,
getting your liver and your spleen. I don't know if they're on the same side.
Like, yeah. I'm just saying, like, limiting it to 10 inches or less, like, that's still going to do a lot of damage if you... Like, it's still enough to go.
Yeah, but it's just another way that men are telling women how to dress. Yes. And how to exist and how to this, how to that.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I support it by any means. I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's the win that they think it is because, like, you're still getting fucked up by a 6-inch hat pin.
All right, I guess I'll take that part of it. In 1910, Chicago City Council held a special meeting to discuss if hat pins were a danger to noses, eyes, faces, and other bodily injuries. Yeah,
that's the fucking point.
Literally.
But guess what? You don't start shit, you don't get fucking stabbed.
There were many accounts of men whining and about getting pricked here and there, but women packed this meeting.
Good.
And they
and
had drafted a letter.
Held out their hat pins, be like, yes or no, bitch, which way you voting?
Literally. They wrote a letter. In behalf of myself and thousands of other women in Chicago who are occasionally on the streets after dark, I want to express the objection against this proposition to curtail the use of hat pins. A hat pin is a woman's defense. A woman's weapon of defense. She is no more permitted to carry a revolver or other weapons than is a member of the sterner sex.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel safe going home at night with a hat pin available. Before leaving a streetcar, I always get a hat pin ready in my hand until I am safe within the door of my home. Many a time it has proved its need. Thousands of other women can speak from their experience of how stout hat pins have been an effective defense in times of danger. The council chamber rang with applause from the women's gallery after reading the letter. The mayor then pounded his gavel and ordered the resolution to be passed.
Yeah.
3 weeks later, an anti-hat pin resolution passed. The women in the balcony chanted shame for hours. I was like, you fucking get them. You fucking get them. Some men called the women who defended their rights to hat pins petticoated swashbucklers.
All right. Awesome. So you just called them awesome?
Awesome pirates. I've never wanted to be called something more in my life. The real reason for their concern was revealed in a quote. Women may be ready to draw their hat pins for the slightest provocation. These swashbucklers may use their hat pins to intimidate men from giving up their seats on the streetcar. Is it not possible that a woman may use force to secure the dream of the militant suffragette at the point of a hat pin?
I don't.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yep.
They
can't have those pins because they want to vote.
They can't have those pins because they might
poke us,
hurt us big, powerful men who are so much more big and powerful and smart and capable that's why men have the right to vote and women are too fucking stupid and can't be trusted and
they're gonna make a coup and they're gonna take over them and their boobs and
you have guns.
Yeah.
You have knives. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to carry, at this time, you're allowed to carry both of them around much more frequently and easily than women are, and you're scared of a fucking hat pin, shoot the bitch. Like, if you're that big of a man,
get yourself a hat pin.
Yeah.
In a bunch of these reference materials, they referred to them as like mini sabers and like needles of death and stuff. They're like, well, why don't they just put it in a sheath on their side if they're going to wear an 18-inch hat pin or a 12-inch hat pin or something? And like, fine, motherfucker, yeah, I will.
Fuck you. Like, yeah. Why? I don't understand like how...
I don't know. They think they're going to be fucking... They have to walk the plank by hat pin, I guess.
The fragility that is conveyed in the contradiction of the narrative that they're putting forth. Like, we're so much better, yet they can threaten our...
They're scary.
They're scary, or they can threaten our way of life or existence or social norms with a fucking safety pin. Like,
yeah.
An industrial safety pin. And that's going to ruin everything. Because you guys are so in control and have a handle on everything that's what's going to take everything down.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just so contradictory.
Well, the happens weren't cutting it anymore because they started, fucking trying to take that away, too. So in 1905, Edith Garrud trained suffragettes to evade the police and defend themselves by applying her knowledge of jujitsu, as well as personal experiences.
Uh-huh.
According to Irene Dillinger, author of Suffragettes, Actresses, and Activists Do It, 100 Years of Self-Defense, unlike many others at the time, Garrud also taught and promoted self-defense as a mean of preventing domestic violent assaults.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in New Zealand, actor Florence Lamar published self-defense tactics and held self-defense workshops for women in her vaudeville act.
Oh my God, I'm just picturing Miss Congeniality.
Literally. That's exact. I wonder if that's what they kind of gleaned it from.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Around the same time in Oakland, California, a telephone operator named Nellie Griffin was approached by a man on her walk home from work. He made several advances and grabbed her arm. Griffin replied by punching him in the face.
Good.
She later told reporters, "I have waited too long for some bystanders to take up and fight for me, as no one ever volunteered. I was compelled to assert my rights."
Mm-hmm.
It is also reported that she judo flipped that man after punching him. Yeah. If mashers were ever inside of a courtroom, they were fined. That was pretty much it.
Yep.
And it's just another thing, another trope that we've been fighting for years. What was she wearing?
Yeah.
You know? Oh, she was wearing a hat pin? She must have been asking for it. So, 2024 hat pins. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Ladies, I think we need to bring back...
Bring back hat pins.
The hat pins. Like, absolutely. I can help anyone with hair. We'll start making our own hats, become our own milliners.
There you go.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mercury, because then...
Don't tell me how to live my life.
Well, that's where Mad Hatter came from. There was a lot of mercury used in the process, and people got heavy metal poisoning because of it.
Hey, it may be fun.
Yeah.
So, hat pins 2024 for president, ladies. All right.
Sure.
Let's start a stabbing.
Yes, please.
That is the brief history of a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Women's plight, their defense.
A brief window into the history.
Yeah. Yeah. So get your hat pins. Get yourself some hat pins,
mm-hmm.
or jujitsu lessons.
Yeah, either or.
Or a gun.
Or
you could have a gun during both.
Mm-hmm.
A hat pin and a gun.
Fuck it.
Which one you want, motherfucker?
Yeah. All right. You done with the stabbing? You ready to dive back into Karen Silkwood?
Oh my God. What was it? Chapter.
Chapter House Silkwood was last one.
Yeah, that was so good. Yes.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
This one probably be like Voyage of the Dawn Silkwood or something like that.
Voyage of the Dawn. Okay, I love it.
Alrighty, so where we left off.
Yes.
Now, the National Organization of Women had taken up the case for Karen. They held a press conference stating that her death had been covered up. And they also held a candlelight vigil on the steps of Capitol Hill on the weekend of the first anniversary of her passing. Remember? At the vigil, Karen's father addressed the crowd and urged them to speak up and not let her killers get away.
Yeah, poor Papa Silkwood.
Yes, it was a very sad, emotional period at the end of the last chapter.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you went out last, too, so.
Yeah.
Fucking bummer vibes, bro. Mm-hmm. All right, so.
Well, the media listened and decided to resurrect coverage on Karen's death. Well, and if you remember from last episode that Now's goal was to drum up enough public interest and clamor to start a congressional investigation.
Yes.
Right. So media coverage picks back up. There were pieces put out from papers like the LA Times, New York Times, Washington Post, San Francisco Chronicle, and more. Right. So like
the Backwoods Gazette.
Yeah. So they're picking this fucker back up.
Indy Star.
Right. While this was going on, okay, we have two senators. Okay.
Okay.
Excuse me. There's Abraham Ribicoff and Lee Metcalf.
Mm-hmm. All right.
They were chairman of a committee and a subcommittee that oversaw government operations. Okay.
Okay.
So like in Congress, they have jobs like in Congress.
Sure. Your job's not just to like go there and be like, hello, vote things. You also have special teams.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So they were each on a committee and subcommittee that oversaw government operations. So while the media is putting these stories out again, now members are bombarding these two senators' offices with letters and phone calls.
Yes. Oh, are you busy? Right. You busy?
So on November 18th, 1975, the senators Ribicoff and Metcalf hold a meeting with a delegation, including some of the kitty cats, a representative for Ralph Nader.
Oh.
A UAW official, United Auto Workers official.
Uh-huh.
And a few others, right? They also brought with them a petition with over 8,500 signatures.
Oof.
Which in the 70s before, like, these aren't internet signatures. These are like door canvas signatures.
Wow, that's incredibly impressive.
Yeah. So they show up with all this. The senators were astonished at the amount of solidarity backing the delegation that was there on behalf of some non-famous regular plutonium worker. Like,
wow.
Because she wasn't like president of shit. She wasn't. You know, a high.
Well, sure, but like, god damn! You said that they were impressed.
Yeah, they were impressed. Much solidarity was behind just this person.
Just this Jane.
Yeah.
Doe. There we go. Oh Lord.
So yeah, they were taken aback, and they promised to reopen the investigation and start a congressional investigation, and they were going to put Metcalf in charge.
Nice.
Right? And his investigation team was going to have the power to subpoena and other necessary clearance and powers for this congressional investigation.
Okay.
So Kitty Tucker and Sarah Nelson, the two original founders of the Kitty Cats, right?
Kitty Girls.
They don't call the, just a reminder, they don't call themselves that. That's just what I dubbed them.
Yes, yes, yes. I love it.
So Kitty Tucker and Sarah Nelson, the spearhead of the Kitty Cats, were overjoyed. So for 5 months,
mm-hmm.
Metcalf's team does their investigation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now as public hearings are about to start.
Mm-hmm.
Right before the public hearings are about to start, Metcalf, as quietly as he can, cancels the public hearings and stops the investigation.
What? What? What?
What?
What do you mean? what do you mean? What does that mean?
Means he stopped the investigation.
What the fuck? So he was like, hey there, Joe. You got a second? Come here real quick. Knock it the fuck off. Whatever you're doing.
We're just knocking it the fuck off. You know, we're not going to do it anymore. Like, it was cool for a minute, but you know what?
No, what I'm telling you is, fucking knock it off, okay? Just bury it. Bury the lead.
Maybe a little bit, because this, this happened conveniently one day after Metcalf met with Dean McGee, the chairman of chairman of the board of Kerr McGee.
Of course. Of course. He was like, well, I'm going to go over there, see what this is all about. See what his side is,
And eventually I'm going to have to talk to this
guy. It's only fair.
Yeah, to hear his side.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder how much money he paid him.
I don't know. So Metcalf said that Dean McGee urged him to drop the case because the OCAW, the Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers Union, was now satisfied with the fact memorandum from the Justice Department.
Well, honey, we're past that. Like, unfortunately, we have escalated to manager. Like, this is part of the escalations team, yeah. All right? You had your chance. No, and they're not.
What do you mean?
They're not.
So Al Grosbison, the president of the OCAW, immediately called bullshit.
Yes! Good! See, I told you! Yeah, Al. Is that what his name was?
Metcalf responded by refusing to reconsider or discuss it further.
Nope. Seems like a super cool human to have on this. Great, 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 great. Real unbiased. I can't be taunted. Not taunted. He can't be swayed. You know.
Yeah.
Cool.
When an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. Right.
What a sense of justice this one has.
Yeah.
All right.
When Metcalf was questioned by reporters, he let it slip that Dean McGee had mentioned the missing plutonium.
What? We're not allowed. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, man, we're just going to drop this. I mean, he admitted it. At least he was like, I mean, there's a little bit missing.
But Metcalf did not state or specify if the Kerr McGee company tried to play the national security card.
Cool, 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 cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they didn't because they just gave him money.
Well, that's like being on the right side of things.
Oh my god.
So, enter a new character. Peter Stockton.
Peter Stockton.
A 37-year-old congressional investigator.
Oh.
He's got a long history of different jobs that made him suitable for it. But long story short, he was part of Metcalf's investigation team. And forged ahead after the investigation was shut down.
Oh, absolutely. He fucking, not Andy Samberg.
Smells like shit.
Fucking Jake Peralta did that shit in a fucking little U store with his little red line grid. He was ready. What was his name? Peter Stockton? Yes. Stockton's on the case. He's on the scent.
So he kept the case alive by getting with a congressman named John Dingell.
The Dingles Dangles. He'll make sure he gets to the bottom of it.
So Dingell agreed to pick up the investigation where Metcalf left off.
Can you imagine Agent Dingell?
Well, he's a congressman.
Congressman Dingles. Where's Barry? Where is Congressman Barry?
Oh, my God.
They have to sit right next to each other.
So, one of the reasons John Dingell picked up the case was because his father had been a...
Mr. Dingell!
Mr. Dingell is my father.
That's my father.
His father had been a...
Senior Dingles! Monsieur Dingles! Alright, I'm ready.
You're fine. So his father had been a political opponent to this late senator, or the former senator, Robert Kerr.
I'm sure there's no relation.
Who was one of the two people who formed the Kerr-McGee company.
Great! Not even a fucking relative. No. Just the dude.
The dude.
The dude.
Yep.
Cool. That's like Bezos being a fucking congressman.
So, Dingell's father...
Daddy Dingles!
Daddy Dingles felt that Robert Kerr might have used his status for unscrupulous means to grow his company.
Samuel, congressmen take their job very seriously, and they are not wont to... take and give into bribes and lobbery.
Yes, or insider trading, or
Nancy sloppy Pelosi fucking blowjobs. You know,
Nancy Pelosi's just really good at the stock market. You know,
again.
So John Dingell, who also felt the Justice Department, John Dingell also felt that the Justice Department had tried to influence and shut down the congressional investigation.
What?
Dingell felt this was overstepping and circumventing congressional authority.
You're stepping on his berries.
And right. And Dingell felt that was not cool.
I would have to agree with Sir Dingell. Congressman Dingell.
So the hearings are back on.
Good. So he was like, uno reverse.
Yeah. They started on April 26th, 1926. 76.
Thank you.
I just had bad writing.
I was like, wait a 1976. Minute.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Listen, I'm listening.
You are listening.
I'm engaged.
The first witness was a physicist named Carl Z. Morgan. He was considered...
The Z stands for xylophone.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Thank you.
He had a bunch of different credentials. He was like...
He was the guy for the job.
Yeah, he was...
Yeah, the expert.
Yes, he was considered enough of an authority on the situation to evaluate Karen Silkwood's claims of safety infractions and all that stuff. He supported Silkwood's allegations, stating, quote, "I have never known of an operation in this industry that was so poorly operated."
Oh my God. He just fucking golden showered over Kerr-McGee. Just what you do is terrible.
Yeah. He then added that he viewed this whole situation with, quote, a great deal of consternation and disgust.
And he was found dead in a hotel 2 days later. Sorry, Mr. Xylophone.
You're funny.
Thank you.
So it's Zamboni.
It's a family name.
So, like, there were other witnesses in the day, but it was a boring day.
Okay.
The final witness of the day was the journalist Jackie Srugi.
Oh, yeah.
Which we've referenced before. Mm-hmm. She's kind of in and out of this tale, but, like, it's hard to, like, go into it. And
Yes, you're good. So Jack's back.
But basically, she was a reporter who had ties with Larry Olson.
Yes.
Who kept her informed, like, the whole way. And would, like, share documents with
her. And Larry
her.
Was the FBI guy, right?
Yes, he's the main FBI guy.
You're damn, I'm remembering today.
Nice. So, Larry Olson kept her informed the whole way and, like, would share documents with her and... what Larry didn't know is whenever he would share documents with Jackie Srugi to have her look them over, she would photocopy all of them.
Like a smart woman does.
Yeah. So during her testimony, she contested like points on the fact memorandum.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, this had been a long and boring day, but everybody's ears perked up when she said her opinions were based on about 1,000 pages of documents provided to her by an FBI agent.
Oh my God, defense was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Yes, it was a record scratch moment.
So the next day, reporters went to the FBI and Justice Department, who said unilaterally, she's lying.
But on the inside, they're like, who fucking snitched?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, FBI. We don't know her.
Yeah. Which is like any minimal amount of digging. Like, she's worked for the FBI before. We'll get into
They're so bad.
So 3 days after her testimony, she was like, she'd been like getting super pressured and was kind of mulling it over. Srugi reported to the FBI headquarters.
I wouldn't go there.
She had worked with the FBI a lot as an informant, feeding them information on people that they asked her to interview and investigate as a journalist.
Well, sure.
One of them was, like, a Russian dude who was, like, a physicist as well that they wanted to, like, kind of figure out where Russia was with the technology or how they were going to use it, all this stuff. Anyway, so Srugi shows up to headquarters only to be aggressively interrogated by 3 top FBI officials for 7 hours.
7 hours!
Quote, they grilled me the way detectives do on television, as if I were a criminal.
Oh my God.
And she's not under suspicion for
anything. Yeah, they're just like, how'd you fucking get this?
So they wanted to know about these supposed 1,000 pages. When she told them that she had seen the letterhead memos.
Oh, she was found dead in her bathroom 2 days later.
One of the officials told her, quote, don't ever tell anyone about them.
You can eat my ass. I don't work for you.
So, the whole point of bringing Srugi in was to get her to sign a statement saying that she had never officially received any documents from the FBI.
Why would I sign anything? You can't do anything. I mean... you certainly can. You can absolutely do something. But, like...
I mean, they already did something to Karen. Well, it wasn't the FBI, to our knowledge.
Yeah. as of this moment, not the FBI. But you're not the boss of me.
No. Yeah. Now, number one, it's true that she was never officially
given anything. Yeah, for sure. But I don't need to sign that.
And two, she was thoroughly intimidated. And like...
poor thing.
Yeah.
Poor thing. I wish I could give her a bit of my ability not to be intimidated.
So she ended up signing the thing.
God damn it!
So then the FBI contacts the, her boss where she works at her job.
Cool.
And basically, like, lets him know that, how much she has worked with the FBI. Which can, like, which basically threatens journalistic integrity.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, so they fucked her again. And they were like, not only can you not talk about this anymore, we're going to make sure you get fired from your fucking job.
Yeah. And especially since, like, her boss at the paper had been involved in, like, civil rights and labor action stuff and had, like, had been intimidated by the FBI and had, had the shit beat out of him by, like, cops and stuff.
Jesus.
So he's super anti-establishment. And then, so they, like, get to him and say that she's been working with the FBI this whole time that she's been employed there. So.
Knock it off.
So she's fired.
Great. Yep.
So Strucci ended up losing her job. The FBI continued to intimidate her.
No way. They seem like a one and done type of organization.
Yeah, to the point where she had three kids. One of them was older. Two of them were younger. She had the older one stay with one of her best friends. And then she took her two other kids and, like, fucking dipped out off the fucking grid for at least a few years, I think.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So.
God. All of our fucking authoritarian... what are those called? Acronyms. Not acronyms.
Yeah.
Are all fucking terrible.
Initialisms, yeah.
Thank you. All three-lettered organizations.
So.
Being a bitch.
Yep. So meanwhile, other FBI officials were trying to persuade Dingle into dropping the investigation.
They want him to drop these berries, but he won't.
He won't. Saying his congressional authority was tenuous at best, which, to be honest, it was, without getting too much into it.
Well, sure, but suck it.
Right. And they also brought up that Karen Silkwood had an unconventional sex life.
She was a lesbian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll do anything. If you remember, what was it, episode 2? Lesbies will do anything.
Lesbies will.
They don't care.
They don't.
But Dingle fired back, wanting to know why some nobody journalist like Jackie Strucci had FBI documents when the Justice Department wouldn't release them to Congress for the investigation.
Oh, shit. Uno reverse again.
Yeah.
He's going to run out of cards.
Mm-hmm.
He was found dead near a toaster 2 days later.
So Dingle demanded access for him and his staff to Larry Olson.
Oh, no. Poor Larry.
And at this point, the FBI had no choice but to acquiesce.
Oh. Larry's gonna squawk.
And we're gonna get into Larry's chapter of this saga next episode.
Waiting on Larry.
I think from what I gather, I think I might have one, maybe two more parts left. So we are getting to the end. I know it seems like we've been in this forever, but
no, I love it. I'm excited to listen to it as like a series when it's complete.
Like an anthology.
Yeah. Thing. Yes. All right. On the Larry Cliff. Oh my God. Fucking Dingle's gonna dangle him.
And once again, I've only read like a chapter ahead of everybody else. So I don't know how this thing
still
ends.
Still don't know, yeah.
I still don't know how this thing ends. Don't get your hopes up. It's probably not going to end well. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
With the history of stories that I accidentally end up picking or find interesting, they usually don't. I mean, look at, oh God, what's his name? Who helped all the Jews in Sweden?
Raoul.
Yes, Wallenberg. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Wallenberg. That was a roller coaster that didn't end fun. You know, so
no, that hurt my soul. I was not okay. I don't think I talked to you for a few hours. I was mad as hell.
Yeah, well, you know, it was still a great story.
It was great
about a fantastically amazing person.
Yes, but it ended in heartbreak.
Yeah. So.
All right, I'll try not to get my hopes
up.
Don't
get your hopes up that justice will be served, because that does not happen a whole lot especially for whistleblowers that get unalived. Okay.
Ugh. All right, well, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay.
For the next installment. Can't wait.
That's our new outro music.
Yeah, I love it. So I took a bit of a different approach to get that shit this time.
Okay.
Just because, I don't know, it kind of came to a realization of to myself that I have really only offered like more feminine items and things like that. Like, we'll get our, you know, unisex or like for everybody kind of things every once in a while. But I
can't imagine why that would be.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've had a lot of these things have been my aesthetic.
Yeah.
Lately. So, this falls underneath my aesthetic, but it's different. It is different than anything that I have shown you guys.
Okay.
As of late. Okay. So, Sammy, go ahead and open up your phone. I sent him a link so he can see these. Does anyone else struggle with having a different aesthetic than their partner, or maybe roommate, or whoever you live with?
Oh my God, every day.
Every day.
It's so crazy how often that happens to me. I'm opening it up.
I love it. You're fine. Well, this guy, Matt, his Instagram and TikTok is Average Asian Matt. Uh-huh. He is an anime-inspired contemporary artist. The creator, Matt, of Annie Modern Prince, wanted himself and other anime lovers, my autocorrect said animal lovers, other anime lovers, to be able to display their love of anime throughout their house, their office, what have you, without it clashing with your significant other's aesthetic or whomever you live with. Mm-hmm. So he created Annie Modern Prince. These prints combine some of fan favorite elements of their loved animes into contemporary art pieces. Yeah. They are digital prints, so you buy it and then you can scale it to pretty much any size that you want. You pay for a PDF, you download that, and you receive a suggested size chart, and then it's just up to you to frame and decorate or however you want to do it. A lot of times he suggests going to FedEx because, you know, you can print things off there, get posters done, that kind of stuff. So, Sam, why don't you tell us a couple of the animes that you're seeing on there?
They're all super abstract and not like, oh, my God, this is it. There's a couple
That are like, kind of like on the nose. I know exactly what that is when I look at it.
Yeah.
If you're like an anime lover.
Like there's the hands from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
That one's
from,
really
like,
cool.
Pride and the Truth or whatever. And it's called Truth. There's Wall that you can tell is from like Attack on Titan.
Dope.
There's one called Straw Hat, but it's like a blue background with two yellow overlapping circles, and where they overlap is red. So it's Luffy, you know?
Luffy, yeah, One Piece.
Yeah, it's from One Piece. But yeah, they're super cool art pieces that like kind of tip the hat to your fandom.
Yes.
Like there's one that is red lines on like a peachy, creamy background. That are just, it's, the red is kind of like the Trailblazers swirly logo, but it's in the shape of like the leaf symbol.
Yeah, from Naruto?
Yes.
Yeah.
So just like, yeah, it does not,
there's,
it just looks like a
one
modern
for Hunter
art piece.
Hunter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're super cool contemporary pieces that, I mean, even if you're not an anime lover, this
yeah, you
will
just hang them up in your house and it just looks like a modern art piece.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah, yeah. And they're cheap. They range anywhere from $10 to like $18, I think was the most. And those are like special edition prints that he puts out.
Yeah.
Like, so
all the ones I'm seeing are like $10.
Yeah. So if you go to anniemodernprints.com or you visit come back here. Average Asian Matt on TikTok or Instagram, you will be able to find these super cool pieces.
Yeah. They are super cool. We should totally get a couple.
Yeah, I think so. So make sure you visit Annie Prince, AnnieModernPrince.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good pick.
Thanks. I saw it on TikTok and was like, Average Asian Matt, you have done the best thing I've seen in a while. So, yeah. All right, well, you got anything over there?
Yeah, I think that's about it.
The, I forgot to write down because I looked at it, but I didn't write it down. The total of the TikTok-a-thon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it was, I think, around 1.7 mil.
Nice.
But they, I forgot to bring it up and mention it, but yeah, they received a lot of hate from a lot of people during this event. Like Mercury's stream got like spammed and flagged and shut down, I believe, like twice. And
God bless it.
So Mercury and Jory like were trying to continue streaming daily until they hit 4, but now the goal is like to hit 2.
Oh my. That's really sad because last year it was just,
yeah,
it was amazing. And like, yeah, it was such an uplifting event.
Yeah.
I mean, I tuned in for a little bit, like while I had, you know, time at work that I just kind of put the stream on, or not stream, but you know, one of their things and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I did not see that, but that's really sad. Yeah. So once again, Point of Pride is the organization. If you have a couple extra dollars or even some words of affirmation and love and what have you, head on over to their Instagram. Give them some love. Mercury, Stardust, and Jory. That's really sad. That's a bummer, dude.
Yeah, it is a bummer.
Why do people have to be asshats?
Bunch of fucking mashers out there.
Well, speaking of mashers, while you're out there with your hat pins, just
those
a stabbing.
Likes, mash those like and subscribe buttons. Right?
Make sure we're something in your like earballs as you're a stabbing. You can find us on all the different streaming platforms, including Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the like. Make sure to stop by our Instagram at GTS_podcast. While you're there, make sure you mash those like, follow, and subscribe buttons so we can continue to grow our shit. Check out our link tree to find our website, episode resources, and more. Give us a holler if you have a small business you want to hype or a topic you don't want to do homework on. Send all of your shit to getthisshitpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, and those of you who use Google Podcast, Google Podcast was shut down. It's now YouTube Music.
Yeah.
We'll be looking into getting our stuff on YouTube Music.
Yeah, it should. My RSS feed should transfer automatically. It may be like a blank profile, but we have a YouTube channel, mm-hmm. so it should link because the RSS feed is the same on the channel.
Okay.
But I will make sure to give that attention, my doodles.
So yeah.
Just look for us anywhere where you can stream.
Mm-hmm.
We're there.
Yep.
Oh, and the name is now Get This Shit. You don't have to put an exclamation point or an asterisk or anything.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, Apple Podcasts loosened up a little bit, so good I was to able to slide that in there. Get This Shit. Yeah, as long as our logo doesn't have the whole word.
Okay.
I know, whatever. So this has become Grumpy Ant Corner. So thank you so much for listening, my dudes. We love you so much. Have a great amount of time in between episodes. Be good or be good at it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that the thing?
Yeah. That's
all right. Cool. All right. Well, love and light it on fire, my dudes.
All right. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Dingleberry.
Dingles dongles.